From where you sit, how should we design learning experiences that are engaging and relevant?
Yeah, I think first start, obviously starting with the students is the first thing. When I think about learning experiences in my context, it ranges from the classroom to college trips to career experiences. And one of my pet peeves, for example, when you do college trips, pet peeve of mine is that you get a group of students from a high school and you put them in a classroom or auditorium and talk to them for, you know, 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And then you say, we're going to do a quick 30-minute college visit. That's not engaging and it's not relevant. Instead, we should ask the students beforehand with the counselors or teachers and say, what do you want to see on the college campus? And then create that experience based on what they want to see, what questions they want to ask, and then what, you know, some expertise from the counselors, what they should know.
Yep.
And I think that translates to classroom instruction as well, where we have our standards and we have what we need to teach, but are we asking them, how are you learning this, or what do you need to learn, or what are some of the gaps? It also relates to, when we think about rigorous courses like AP and concurrent enrollment, one of the challenges is that we don't ask that question about what support you need, right? So kids get into the classes, they're excited about college class, but then are we giving them wraparound support to make it relevant or engage in them? Or if we just ask them to go through the 6 semesters or whatnot and then they get a grade at the very end, right?
Right.
And what that does is it actually creates this problem when they go to college or career afterwards, right? They don't know how to advocate. It creates a disconnect, right? So I just talked to someone the other day about students on a college campus, and they're taking classes in their STEM program, and they're like, now they're 4 weeks in, now they realize, oh, all the stuff you talked about early on, I need to use, right? But they're engaged in the conversation. They know what support's available. So
you think that the way in which you engage and make something relevant is by essentially asking students what they need or by providing further supports?
I think it's both, right? I think it's asking what do you need. That helps with the self-awareness in college and being able to advocate or career later on. Like, they know how to identify their needs, and so you have to ask. That's also important, like, when you think about work and you go into life after high school, you got to be able to talk to your boss about needs before it becomes an issue, right? It's the yellow before it becomes red. And I think that's the first, helping students and parents and everyone think about that. It's okay to ask and share your needs, so that's where you can work around.
A lot of transparency there, right?
Yeah.
Like, that it requires us to be transparent about what we need, what supports are available, and to have a conversation.
Yeah.
How do you best support students in having that conversation?
Yeah, I think you best support them by, you give them resources, and that's the other part of that, where you help them understand what's available. Like, for example, what questions should you ask, right? Mm-hmm. When you think about college fairs at a school, you know, you round all these students up and you put them into a cafeteria and you say, go talk to colleges. For a first-time generation student, they don't know what questions to ask, so you can kind of prep them beforehand. Here's what questions to ask when you go on college visits, same thing, give them, and then even classroom, like, here's what things you should be asking, here is the syllabus, what you should be knowing, and here is examples when you're going to get your grades or whatnot, but give them that toolbox first, right?
Mm.
And then from there, as an expert, we should know our school, our classroom, so we have an idea what should be in that toolbox, right? So we help kind of develop resources tailored to our community. Does that answer your question?
I think so. I mean, for me, the conversation space, that space where you're actually building the relationship,
yeah,
so that student is engaged and,
yeah,
has that relevancy, is really like the sort of the crux, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm interested in your thoughts around what the role is that is required to do that. Is it just having, you know, that amazing teacher who takes an interest in a kid or something like that?
Yeah.
Or is there a more formal role that we need to be playing in supporting students in knowing the questions to ask and being able to be an advocate? Do students need an ombudsman, to help them navigate both the college and career side, but also, like, the system that we have created?
Yeah, I think they do. I think they need as educators, our role is to, like I said earlier, give that, understand our student needs and begin to develop a toolbox that meets their needs.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
give them space in a non-judgmental way to ask questions and say, hey, I don't get this. And I guess empowering them, and that's the other piece, is like empower our students and our families to ask questions, advocate for themselves, and then give them structure on how to do that. So we have to be conscientious how we tier that in throughout the whole year, whether it's a workshop or it's discussing in the classrooms or it's helping them do a debrief after college visits, right? But we are intentional about it. I guess that's the last, is maybe it's intentionality, like making sure there's some intentionality about it. Because having a relationship is good, but then to what extent is this relationship helping the student, right? Is it just crisis management? Or is it like, hey, we have a relationship, but I have a plan for you throughout the whole year that you're going to, at the end of the year, be better person, be better student, you know? Does that, yeah. Because I ran into, and you run into that conversation with social-emotional needs where there's a lot of things happening with our students that need addressing early on, especially like in ninth grade, if they go through a lot of social-emotional challenges in ninth grade. But those challenges, are we equipping them to deal with these challenges throughout life, right? So are we helping them address this issue now, or is it going to have an issue? You know, you learn how to address this issue now, but you also learn how to address it 2 months from now or 2-3 years from now. You have these skills so that it's not a reoccurring issue.
Yeah, and I think that idea of, like, making things, really supporting kids in learning how to navigate and really having those skills of advocacy, of, you know, being agents within their own learning path.
Yeah.
And I think that speaks a lot to the level of engagement. Like, if I feel like I am an agent in my learning, I'm a lot more engaged than if I am a passive recipient of learning. And so that becomes a lot more important for me to, like, figure it out when it really is on me. And I think that that's a shift for a lot of folks, right? Versus sort of disseminating information and things like that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think that's what makes it relevant for the student, because in a lot of ways they're choosing what they want to learn, and they get the opportunity to dive in, and it's happening already outside of the classroom. So if I'm a student, I choose to go to the movie because X, Y, or Z. I choose to do this because X, Y, or Z. They're finding meaning and making it relevant, and they're engaging in different things outside of the school that are just life things. So how do we take that process and their ability to be engaged and do it in the school setting, right?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be separated. I hope that makes sense.
It definitely does, and I think there's an element there of how do we support kids in making better choices, too, right?
Yeah,
like, I can go to the movies and get into a fight, you know, and that's a choice that I have to make versus going to the movies and really enjoying, you know, my friend group and whatever, right? So there are better choices to be making in schools, but we also have to present them as real choices rather than, like, well, you could take this math class now, or you can take this math class, you know, next semester, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's not a great choice necessarily unless you see it as a part of your path. So I feel like you've tackled this question and really, really hit it. The last thing that I want to make sure that we do is ask, what is the question that you think we should be asking ourselves, that we should be answering collectively? What is the question that you wrestle with and keeps you up at night, or however you want to think about that?
The question is, how do you build a systemic system that addresses every student's need while ensuring that we're all accountable for our work, but it's individualized enough so students can be engaged, relevant, and ultimately live a life of their choice, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's the question.
That's a big one. I feel like, and I think that the sort of that element of sustainable, right? Like, it's a sustainable system. It is something that does allow for a lot of choice,
mm-hmm.
right? But that it really does support every child with their needs,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think that if we're answering that, trying to answer that mm-hmm. together, then I think we're probably a lot better at creating the system than if we're just saying, well, we're all doing our own things,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully it'll add up to something, right?
Yeah. Just a matter of when, right? It'll add up to something. Is it something that happens this year, or is that a a 3 to 5 year, or is that a 10 year term? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
All right. Well, I think it's a good question to be asking. Thank you so much.
Thank
I really
you.
Appreciate
Thank
your time.
You.